Well, thanks, everybody. My name is Ted. This is my partner, Eli. And what we're here to talk about today is the concept of threatscaping, which centers around the idea that uniform security models are not effective when you consider the unique characteristics of different workflows. So we're going to talk a little bit about that challenge, and in particular how the workflows in media and entertainment have quite a bit of complexity to them. We're good. Yeah, so first we'll just establish a little bit of context, then we will talk about those workflows, and then we will present some solutions for what to do about it. Simple as 1, 2, 3. So let's start with context. So just by way of introduction, our company, Independent Security Evaluators, we perform security research and security consulting. And what's woven throughout everything that we're doing is an adversarial perspective. So a lot of what Eli is going to talk about when we start getting into the specifics of workflows is looking at it not from the sense of how will this work to benefit the best business outcome, which is why the business, why the workflow functions the way that it does, but rather to look at it from the perspective, how can we exploit a weakness in this? Across our company, we spend a lot of time in media and entertainment, specifically focusing on some of the nuanced issues that are inherent in this industry that other industries maybe don't have the same issues. From one industry to the next, security challenges, maybe 80%, maybe 75% are the same from one industry to the next. But it's that 20 to 25% difference that's focused on how that business functions that exposes all kinds of new types of risk. And that's what we're here to talk about today, is how to deal with those nuances that are inherent in media and entertainment. So with that, Eli, why don't I kick it over to you, and we'll talk about some workflows. I should also mention, just to give Eli a little bit of introduction, Eli spends most of his time embedded with a major studio in Los Angeles, and he lives and breathes building out a programmatic approach to many of these workflow issues that we're going to talk about. So even though he does not work technically for a studio, he lives and breathes the studio life.
Thanks, Dad.
Really advanced this thing. There we go.
Okay. So workflow analysis. Ted gave a great introduction there, but when we talk about workflows and we talk about a production and we go from the pre-biz formation of a production company all the way through post-editorial distribution, then eventually home entertainment release, those are all very different life cycles of a production, which have different threat and trust assumptions that a production, a studio, or a content owner, or shops who work with content owners need to be cognizant of in the in whichever phase of the production we're talking about. So if you start talking about controls for things like DCP wrapping and distribution to cinemas, that's a pretty well-defined workflow that we have over there. But if you start breaking it down and looking further, deeper down that rabbit hole, there's distribution of things like trailers to cinema versus full feature. There's encryption requirements that exist for one of those and not for the other. I'll let you guys guess which one is going to have the encryption requirements. And then there's also conversion of that content for home distribution and release. And those flows exist, multiple phases, multiple different levels, for the content with the vendors. So trying to take a uniform approach to how you're going to be applying security controls, who you're going to be trusting through the process, and the threats that you're going to be protecting against. There's a lot of overlap between them, but there are subtle nuances that need to be taken into account. So we've so what we've done is just kind of mapped out some workflows. First workflow we're talking about here is mastering. We're all familiar with the mastering workflow. It is taking the content and getting it ready for distribution. If you look at it, there's going to be the, and before I go in and start talking about the mastering process, what we've done is we've tried to color code the squares in these diagrams. Dark blue is workflow that is controlled and operated by content owner. Lighter blue will be involving a mixture of content owner as well as the vendor or outside third parties who don't necessarily own the content, but work on it. You've also broken down physical delivery versus digital delivery. You'd be surprised at how many workflows require you to shuttle drives back and forth and how prevalent SpeakerNet still is in this industry versus electronic transfer of content. And what we've done is we've kind of given a quick overview of what we all know the mastering process to be. There's a studio who's a content owner, and I could probably get up here and point, it'll be a little bit easier. Studio who's a content owner. Then there's the servicing of the content, as well as a mastering vendor who's going to be receiving the content and actually getting it wrapped up and ready to go. Beyond that, there's going to be some type of QC, and this is slightly different color. You can't really see it on the screen, but this is a mixture of QC that occurs at both the vendor facility and at the content owner level. In order to facilitate all of this, the studio is opening up lines of communication, lines of trust internally to different groups within the WN and internal workflow, as well as to third-party vendors who are going to need access to content. From there, there's some type of collaboration, some type of approval that happens, and then you have multiple different means of distributing the master content. And when we think about master content, we've got theatrical, pay TV, things like pay-per-view and streaming rights through cable, electronic home video, like whether we're talking about iTunes or Samsung's workplace or Google Play Store. There is a process that you need to go through. There is some QC that needs to happen over there, as well as physical distribution, the physical replication for DVD and Blu-ray, because it is still quite a large market. Every single one of those boxes that we have on the right-hand side of the screen are their own independent flows that have their own independent approval process, QCing that's associated with it, as well as threat and trust assumptions that go into creating the model. So, if you want to drill into just one of these, a distribution of DCPs for cinema previews as well as television distribution. If we look at that box, within the prior slide, you've got your creative studio who is the owner of the content, as well as your production and your creative vendor, the folks who are creating your trailer. The production and studio are going to be inextricably linked. They're going to be, for the most part, the same entity operating under the same trust assumptions and threat modeling. Your vendor who's creating the trailer is going to need access to pre-theatrical content through the creation of the production. With that, it's very important to get an idea of how and when that content is going to be shared with said vendor, what assumptions you place in terms of their access and restrictions to it, and then approval of content once it's ready. Because after a trailer is done, it's got to come back to Studio Creative, it's got to go through the marketing arm of the studio to make sure that it hits all the marks and everyone's happy with it, and it's ready for distribution. It's a completely another workflow that involves transferring content and granting folks, usually within your own enterprise, access to the content in a very sensitive state. And then from there, there are multiple means of distribution. There's distribution for digital cinema. We're actually wrapping these things up, sending them out to cinemas around the world, tens of thousands of them, on a given day to get the campaign ready, as well as taking the exact same content, editing it down for TV slots, and then getting it ready for television distribution. And when we sit here and think about trailers and trailer distribution, the assumption is, well, they're trailers. We want as many people to see them as possible, right? Not necessarily. When we think of large events like the Super Bowl, we think of large reveals for a trailer, like the newest release for the Star Wars trailer, a lot of thought, planning, and money and resources went into exactly how those campaigns were going to be released to the public. And with many content owners, they treat that workflow, the trailer distribution, the trailer creation workflow, as sensitive as the full feature film. So we're seeing instances, or we're seeing cases, where DCPs are being required for some of the more sensitive trailer content and trailer material, and press isn't getting advanced access to some of these materials, which is it's a complete about-face to how things work prior. So, food for thought when looking at this. This is for TV. This is for TV and theatrical distributions. Again, if you look at the workflow for DCP for full feature, it's going to be slightly different in terms of QCing, slightly different in terms of the shop that you're sending it to, and slightly different in terms of complexity of the workflow. But it gives you a pretty decent idea of what we're dealing with here. Another one that I think is fun to talk about, another workflow that I think we should be drilling into and talking about. Physical distribution of content. We all know that there are DVD replicators. We all know that there's a process where content is shared with Replicator. There's a QC situation that happens, and then physical media is sent out to folks like Amazon, Best Buy, and then smaller regional distributors, your grocery stores and other shops that are going to be selling copies of a given content. Seems like a pretty simple workflow, right? Like, there isn't much that happens there. However, if we drill in and get an idea of what the actual authoring and replication process looks like, there are a lot of moving parts here. And there are a lot of folks who are going to be accessing content in a very sensitive window. So authoring and replication and getting mastering ready for in-home release actually starts the day digital cinema is prepped. So the day a campaign is complete and a tentpole launches, immediately after that, content owners are collaborating with all the shops who are going to be getting that content ready for release to the wider audience. In this case, we look at DVD authoring. So with authoring, if you want to just walk through this workflow quickly, it starts in the lower corner over here with the mastering group. Mastering group gets the final form pressed, ready, it's out there in lots of formats. It's put in some type of archive for digital distribution and access, and then there's some type of dubbing for localization that occurs as well, because you do need to make sure it's ready in Espanol if you're going here, or with a French traffic being distributed in Canada, and then globally, same problem exists. From there, there's usually a mastering vendor who's going to need access to that content in a pretty sensitive window, at which point they have options where they can either go directly to the studio mastering group, depending on the flow we're talking about here, and receive content physically or digitally, or they can have hooks into a self-service portal through content owners, where you're able to hit some type of web application or some other means of authenticating to a system that allows you to make a request to pull this content down in that sensitive window that I was talking about. Beyond that, once you get the core content, there's authoring that needs to happen, where you're getting your chapters together, you're getting an idea of what color correction needs to happen, and then from there there's QC. As well, there's also bonus material. And again, bonus material, when we think about it, it's one of those things where most content owners want folks to see that as often as possible. Well, once it's the public domain, you want as many views as you can get, but that bonus material is usually a saleable feature. And it's usually one of those things where you want to keep it as close to your chest as possible in that authoring phase as content is being replicated for distribution. Beyond there, once the authoring is complete, there's some type of emulation where you're running it across multiple different means of technology to make sure that it plays uniformly on all the different formats that could potentially be used to run it, as well as review and archiving. So if you need to press out another copy of it in the future, you're able to do it. And then from there, we talked about replication earlier. That little replication box we had on the last stage, like if we go in and look at what replication is in distribution, this is the flow over here. And every one of these boxes has a subflow associated with it with different trust assumptions and different threat assumptions with multiple different actors who are going to have access to this content in a pretty sensitive window. Happen to think that this is fascinating, and we've touched on two workflows right now, not too many of them. When we think of the production lifecycle, and we think pre-biz through distribution, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of different workflows that you can drill into to try to kind of get an idea of how and where these relationships exist and what controls need to exist within them. And I'd love to be able to look at this and point to something like authoring and tell you what those controls can and should be, but I can't tell you that. Every vendor is going to be different. Every studio is going to have slightly different requirements. We can get to part of the way there, but understanding what those requirements are is kind of really important. So, authoring, I know I'm being a dead horse over here, but with authoring, the joke is, like, anytime there's a leak, it's, well, the DVD fell off the back of the truck. It usually happens, like, 2 or 3 weeks prior to home date. That's actually by design, where a lot of content owners have gotten very stringent about when they allow replication to occur and when they allow content to go to a replication facility, because that's where leaks happen. And when you think of the controls that need to exist at a physical replication facility, we've got hundreds or thousands of disks that are being pressed out on a daily basis versus your EHV workflow, your Samsungs and Apples. You need to get something ready for electronic home video distribution. It's a completely different control set for how you would go about assessing each of those vendors. One, you need to make sure you have cages, racks, locks, cameras to make sure that no one walks out with physical media. The other is the typical digital content security workflow that we're accustomed to walking through. So this is all food for thought and just kind of what we wanted to shine a light on in these flows particularly. So that's all I have workflow related. I'm going to kick it back to Ted now to kind of talk to solutions because I'm the problem.
So given what Eli just described, I think we can all agree it's a complex problem. And to think that a uniform solution would in any way solve all of those problems across all the different vendors and all the different content owners, that would be a naive way to think about it. So that leads to the question, well, what do we do about it? If we can all agree there's a problem, what's the solution? So there's a few ways to think about this. First step is to analyze the workflow. Eli just walked us through what an example workflow would be, but every organization needs to actually look at their workflow and consider some elements. So first and foremost, you want to develop a threat model. What a threat model is a threat model is basically an exercise through which you're identifying the assets you care about protecting, the adversaries you care about defending against, and then what the attack surface looks like. So in summary, basically what it does is it helps you think about what to worry about. The next thing you want to do is you want to build out a trust model. What a trust model is a trust model... You can't make this work. Technology will always fail you. That is what is woven into this talk. Trust model is basically an exercise through which the opposite happens. So in a threat model, you're talking about what are you worried about? In a trust model, you're thinking about, okay, who can we assign trust to? And what's the minimum amount of trust we can assign in order to accomplish whatever our goals are? These are distinct but related exercises that are critically important to the pursuit of a security mission. Next thing you want to do is understand risk. So in this, what we're advocating for is organizations to have both a qualitative and quantitative understanding of what risk means to them. Not to come just from a gut instinctual perspective or to come just from a perspective of whether or not this means we won't get the next contract with XYZ Studio, but rather to actually be able to quantify what that risk is. And then finally, to update workflows. So for those of you who walked around this show and have been to any other show, last year, 5 years ago, however many years before that, you'll notice that the whole industry is constantly evolving. How we actually produce content is constantly evolving. So the workflows too will also constantly evolve. Companies are innovating, new technologies are coming online, adoption of new types of solutions are being rolled out. Fundamentally, every single one of those decisions changes the workflow. So you need to make sure you're constantly updating those workflows accordingly. Once you've gone through the process of analyzing workflows, you need to make sure to then tailor the controls that apply to those workflows to whatever your unique scenario is. So every studio is unique. If anyone was going to try to say that Disney is the same as NBC, they would be wrong. Likewise, every vendor is unique. Even two vendors who ostensibly provide solutions that appear to be the same or similar, they have very different ways about which they go about their business. And then finally, the controls and the interaction and the relationships between any given studio and any given vendor is going to be unique. So taking all of this together, what that effectively means is once you've gone through that process of analyzing the workflow and going through those bullet points that we described a moment ago, you then need to, in each case, tailor what the controls are from a security perspective so that the unique nuances of that workflow can be considered in the security program. So that pretty much wraps it up for us. We've got a couple minutes here to take questions.
Do anybody have any questions for these gentlemen? ISE, independent security evaluator. Other than when can I hire you to protect my business?
I have nothing, but that's amazing.
And by the way, it's Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Come by Wednesday. It's really going to be quite the scene up here. No questions? Nothing? Not at all? picking?
You think we either did a really good job or a really bad job?
Yeah. We'll find out after.
It's like I'm just resting my feet from walking all over everywhere. I don't really care. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Give him a round of applause.
Thank you, buddy.
You are.